This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Happy New Year. It is our first program of 2022, and we want to hear from you. Connect with us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. And you know what? You can take us anywhere, anytime. Download our app. That is Sports Map Radio Network. It's a brand new year. You know what? I've got a brand new producer, Sean Mapes, hanging out with the Big E in studio. Give him a follow on Twitter at Sean Mapes. And Sean, you know what? It is week 18 of the NFL season, and we've got lots of big matchups this weekend. But I want to just step back and reflect on what has kind of transpired over the past 7 days. And one of the biggest headlines, of course, has been Antonio Brown. And he is claiming that he was pressured to play while injured. How do you explain his exit of the game and just how totally unprofessional he handled himself?
Yeah, unprofessional is the perfect word for it. And that is the there is no explanation for what he did and how he did. I'm sure there's plenty of players that get pressured into playing when maybe they're not quite 100% ready to go, but hey, the team needs them. That's kind of the culture of football. But the culture of football isn't then to freak out and to rip off your pads, rip off your shirt, throw them into the crowd, pump up the crowd, kind of do jumping jacks on your way out in the middle of a game, in the middle of a play also. And so, really, Antonio Brown just falls into another one of his antics episodes of he has messy endings wherever he goes, and it looks like this is another messy ending in Tampa Bay.
So, Sean, do your expectations change for the Buccaneers?
Yeah, last year it felt like they had kind of a plethora of weapons, but now, you know, it always kind of falls back a little the next year after a long playoff run. Now Godwin's hurt. Now Antonio Brown is MIA. So it does readjust how I think about them coming into the playoffs.
Much more coming your way here in Hour 1 of Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. It is Week 18, and coming up next is going to be NFL columnist for New York Newsday, Bob Glauber, after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Our NFL news and notes continues as we get you ready for some big games today in week 18 of the NFL season. Always excited to have him back with us. And that is our good friend, Bob Glauber, NFL columnist with New York Newsday and author. Happy New Year, Bobby.
Happy New Year, Alyssa. I appreciate you having me. And anyone who can pronounce Glauber properly is a friend of mine. Appreciate it.
Hey. Well, let's do this. It is week 18, and it features two games today with the Chiefs and the Broncos. And the Cowboys, they've packed their bags. They are on the road to face the Eagles. And so we're going to get into some of those storylines. But we also want to get your thoughts on Antonio Brown, as he essentially quit on his team during Sunday's game against the Jets. And he's opened up about the sideline incident in a lengthy statement, and he said he didn't quit on the team, but that he was cut. So kind of what's your reaction from all of this?
Well, the reaction is, here we go again, now for a fourth time. This is his fourth team, fourth divorce, and we're kind of getting used to this. And at the end, with all these endings, they all are the same. It's Antonio Brown, in a lot of ways, playing the victim when, in fact, he is at fault in really all of these situations. You know, he pushed his way out of Pittsburgh. He never stepped on the field in Oakland. He got cut in New England when he had legal problems, and now he walked out on his team. I was at the game last week when he walked off the field, and it was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen at a game. Because, you know, I've seen, you know, frustrations. There was a time when one player did not return for halftime, after halftime, but didn't, you know, stage a, you know, just dramatic exit from the field. So it was pretty bizarre.
Do you think he will play for pro football again?
I do not think Antonio Brown will play again. Now, obviously, I could be wrong because teams have just, you know, taken chances on that talent, and there is talent there, obviously. But I think that he has worn out his welcome. He has now gone after his coach in every stop. He's now gone after Tom Brady, right? He posted a picture on his Instagram account of himself in a picture, home alone, and with Brady and Bruce Arians in the background. Well, you're gonna backstab Tom Brady, a guy who really went to bat for you, both in New England and in Tampa. You're going to go after your coach. You know, if any coach does go after him and sign him, you know, good luck, because it doesn't end well.
NFL columnist for New York Newsday, also author of The Forgotten First, Guts and Genius, Bob Glauber, our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. Let's talk about the Buccaneers and just, you know, obviously the expectations were high coming into this season. How much pressure is on them to, you know, follow up and win another Super Bowl back to back?
Well, listen, I think there's pressure. I don't know that it's intense, only because, you know, Tom Brady proved so much by winning it all last year. He just defied all expectations, and he continues to do that every time he steps on the field. You know, a 44-year-old quarterback who has thrown more touchdowns in his 40s than he did in his 20s, it's just remarkable.
Yeah.
So he is Mr. Intensity, always wants to win, and he puts the pressure on himself. But, you know, this team has done it, so I think it's a little less pressure, and I don't know if that will hurt them motivationally, you know, in the playoffs. They're going to be as good as just about anybody, and you could say maybe with the exception of Green Bay, who has the better record in the number one seed, but Tampa already beat him in Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. So this is a very, very even, open field, especially in the NFC.
Okay, so the path to the Super Bowl got a lot more difficult now with this whole Antonio Brown situation. How do they recalibrate and next man up? I mean, how are they going to adjust?
Yeah, I think there is a next man up mentality there. And when you have Tom Brady, you can make adjustments. He had he's incredible in terms of making it work with whoever he's got out there. Now, Mike Evans is still a big time player. He came back from injury and he's had COVID. He's okay. He will be okay for the playoffs, and he's a big time receiver. So there's talent at the tight end position, you know, with Rob Gronkowski, who is maybe the most reliable player Tom Brady has ever been with. And the defense, you know, the defense has not been as good this year as it was last year. But I think, you know, in last year's playoffs, that defense got better with each week. So I think you see Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, have a good setup for his team and hopefully for their sake, you know, get better as things go along. But it has been a little bit vulnerable this year.
Mm-hmm. It is week 18 of the NFL season. Bob Glauber, our very special guest, NFL columnist for New York Newsday. And let's go ahead and move ahead. And since we're on the subject of talking about quarterbacks, just talking about Tom Brady, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. What does his future look like in Green Bay as they get ready to face the Lions tomorrow on the road?
Well, listen, you know, this is like a gimme game against the Lions. Even if they lose it, they still have the number one seed. So, you know, he's really looking, and that team is looking forward to a couple of weeks from now when they get that bye. And there's only one bye per conference now, so it is a really valuable asset. Now, they didn't take advantage of it last year. I would say if I'm a Packers fan and I love Aaron Rodgers, which most Packers fans do, I would be pretty optimistic right now and feeling fairly good about the chances for him being back, having a really good playoff, and him being back next year. I know that may have sounded like, if you said that, you know, 6 months ago, no way, he's gone, he's out of there. But, you know, he seems to have made peace with the organization. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, and he are getting along very, very well. They are listening to Aaron Rodgers in terms of what he wants personnel-wise. So I think it's a pretty good marriage there right now. And if they do some special things in the playoffs, I think that run has a pretty good chance to continue.
Is he your favorite to win the MVP?
Yes, I think he will win the MVP. And I am a voter, and I will not take any other factors into account other than his play on the field in answer to your next question.
Well, I just, you know, what I was going to say.
Okay.
You know, what is the perception of Aaron Rodgers with this off-field reputation? I mean, it was surprising to hear about the NFL MVP voter admitting that he's not going to vote for him.
Yeah, that was a little unfortunate and disappointing. And I think Cub Arkush, who was the writer and broadcaster who did that, he felt badly that he did it, but he didn't change his mind. Listen, this award is the most coveted individual award in sports, and it's a really important award. And I don't think that, you know, whatever you think about Aaron Rodgers' politics and his stance on vaccinations and not vaccinations, I mean, this is a football award, and he has been the best player and the most valuable player this year on the field, and that really is the start and end of it. Sometimes, you know, in the Hall, I'm also a Hall of Fame voter, and we had this discussion about Terrell Owens and the idea of how do you judge him? Do you include the stuff about him being a teammate, a divisive teammate? Is it only between the white lines on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays and Saturdays, whenever they play? Mm-hmm. Or do you include the locker room stuff? And the answer was, you know, there was some consideration about, you know, how he is with a team, because this is, you know, it's not just MVP, it's Hall of Fame. And he eventually got in, deservedly so. He's got the Hall of Fame numbers. But there was quite a debate about that, and it was a really interesting process.
NFL columnist for New York Newsday, also author, a latest release, teamed up with Keyshawn Johnson, The Forgotten First, that chronicles the lives of four incredible men and the racism they experienced as players in a segregated sport. And it's a big weekend because what the NFL is honoring those four players that you and Keyshawn wrote about. Tell us about it.
It's a really cool thing, Alyssa. You know, excuse me, in Los Angeles, the Rams are honoring Kenny Washington and Woody Strode, who broke the color barrier in for that team and for that league in 1946. That's 75 years ago. This is the 75th anniversary of that first season when they crossed the color line and obviously started integration on a permanent basis in the NFL. And the Browns are honoring Marion Motley, the great fullback, and Bill Willis, the great defensive lineman, who were signed by Paul Brown the same year and began integration in what was then the All-America Football Conference. So these guys, you know, they're kind of, that's why the title of the book, The Forgotten First, the first class of African-American players who played professional football and really set in motion what you see today, and that's really a predominantly African American league. It's about 70% African American, but you know this occurred the year before Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball, and Jackie Robinson, in fact, played at UCLA with Woody Strode and Kenny Washington. So the stories are interconnected, and everyone knows Jackie Robinson, and everyone should celebrate him, but nobody knows these guys. But I think the NFL is kind of coming around, and it's really good to see. Their families will be at those two games, I'm sure that the fans will kind of appreciate what their ancestors did for sports in America.
Mm-hmm. The title of the book is The Forgotten First, a powerful read. You can go anywhere online and pick up a copy. Our very special guest, always one of the Biggie's favorites, and that is Bob Glauber, NFL columnist for New York Newsday. Give him a follow online at Bob Glauber. Enjoy the games, week 18, and we'll be talking when the Super Bowl comes a little bit closer. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks so much, Alyssa. Good luck to you. Happy New Year.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back in Hour 1.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome in on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. You bet it is Hour 1, and it is the segment we have all been waiting for as we get ready to preview the college football playoff national championship game between Georgia and Alabama. Of course, these two teams appear destined to get there in advance to the big game, and we are so delighted to have back with us former quarterback at the University of Georgia and now ESPN college football analyst, the great Hudson Mason. Happy New Year, Hudson.
Hey, yeah, Happy New Year to you as well.
It's all good. And the college football playoff semifinals are all said and done. Now we have number one Alabama and number three Georgia taking care of business, of course, against Cincinnati and Michigan. And they are in the big game. I'm just curious, you know, before we look ahead to the matchup on Monday night, let's reflect on the four teams that did advance. It's always a hot topic. And what say you? I mean, do you think the committee got it right this year?
I do. In fact, I have played this out in my head a couple times since the outcomes of the semifinals games, and there's really nobody that I thought, you know, Michigan was most deserving. Cincinnati, I felt like, was most deserving. I think Alabama and Georgia are by far and away in a class of their own, and they're the two best teams in college football. And I know a lot of people are kind of upset that it's the SEC again, but at the end of the day, like, you want to see the two best teams play. And I think that's what we got. I know that's what we've got. And, you know, if I look back on it, I'm like, okay, well, Oklahoma State would have had an opportunity, but they ended up losing to Baylor. And, you know, Ohio State lost at the end of the year. So it just, I don't really know who else you could have made a good case for to put in there. I don't think Notre Dame's schedule was tough enough, and they didn't obviously play in a title game, conference title game. So it's easy to be a revisionist historian mm-hmm. at this time. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, we've got the end result that we all want, which is the two best teams playing.
Hudson, are you a believer in expanding the college football playoff? I mean, what do you think is best for college football?
Yeah, I'm in favor of expansion because I like watching football, if that makes sense. Like, the more football you give me, I'm always going to be happy about it, right? I mean, I think that's what makes the NFL playoffs so fun. I'm not a believer that you're necessarily going to get better quality games. So for people that believe that, oh, let's expand it to 12 because, you know, 13 out of the 16 college football playoff games have been, you know, blowouts. You know, the logic to that is, well, if a 14 playoff has given us very little competition, competitive games, what makes you think that expanding that is going to give us more competitive games? It's not, because you're not going to be putting in necessarily better teams or more qualified teams. So, but I'm just a fan of college football, and I love sitting down and watching, even if it is a blowout. I love the build up going into the games. I love the NFL playoff format. I love as much football as we get for 3 to 4 weekends in a row. So in that sense, I'm definitely in favor of it. But I don't expect to get better quality games out of it.
He's one of the best in the business, college football analyst, ESPN, Hudson Mason. Give him a follow on Twitter, at HMason14. And perhaps you're in the Georgia area, you can listen to him on 680 The Fan. The countdown is on. We're getting you ready for the national championship game, Alabama and Georgia, 7 o'clock kickoff on Monday night, hitting on a variety of subjects. Let's move ahead. What are some of your takeaways from what we've seen? Obviously, Oklahoma, that's close to my heart, and it was heartbreaking to see Caleb Williams enter the transfer portal. But he does say that he's going to keep Oklahoma as an option.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
Right.
You don't see the athletic director and the head coach make statements or issue statements for players that they think they're getting back, in my opinion. It is free agency. The only difference is that, you know, free agency in professional sports has parameters and it has rules. This feels like, and it is, the wild, wild west. And it has gotten out of control. As a former player, I am very pro player in a lot of these things. You know, for a long time, a lot of people have been making money off of this sport, and so why shouldn't the players be able to? That's kind of my opinion on that. And so I would like to see a little bit more structure. I would like to see some more concrete parameters put in place as we move forward. It's not just the players either. That's the thing. I mean, we're seeing coaches partake and some of this mindset of just let's hop around and the grass is always greener on the other side. I mean, we had a coach for the first time this year ever leave a team that was still in the college football playoff hunt in Brian Kelly. So everybody wants to bang on the players. There's coaches partaking this as much as there are players in it.
Well, and perhaps should we change what we expect of student athletes and their loyalty? I mean, the thing that I've definitely learned, obviously, is that, you know, college athletics, the bottom line is it's a business. And you just point to, you know, Brian Kelly, Lincoln Riley have shown us that.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we've allowed it to get to the place in college football society where it has become more about money. And when you start paying these astronomical salaries to coaches, $100 million guaranteed, 10-year contracts, greed takes place and greed sets in. And I think that's what the sport has turned into. It's turned into all about money, all about greed, all about the dollar. And I'm fine with people making money. I mean, I'm a capitalist. Go for it. But I don't think there's much of a balance anymore in the sport where there's much guys playing for the desire out of their own heart outside of just making money. It seems like the central focus of a lot of the sport right now is just money, money, money.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning, hour one at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Connect with us many different platforms and ways. We are always live on Twitter at eRadioSports. You can email the show, info@eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com, and download our app, Sports Map Radio 24/7. Okay, let's move ahead and preview the national championship game. Our special guest is Hudson Mason, college football analyst with ESPN. And you got it right. It is an all-SEC matchup, and Alabama seeking its fourth national title in college football playoff era. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, depends. As a Georgia fan, I'm nervous. I'm a little bit spooked. It's hard for me to look past that 0-4 number. 0-4 being, you know, Kirby Smart's record versus Nick Saban, and not, you know, acknowledge that. You know, resumes should matter. And I think as a Georgia fan, or a college football fan in general, if you're not a fan of either of these teams, you can look at Georgia coming out of that Michigan game and go, man, this team is, when they are playing at their highest level, they are the best team in the country, including Alabama. But the problem is when they've played Alabama, they have just pressed, they have been anxious, they have just not been the same team that they have been in the regular season. And that goes for all the other times that they've played Alabama, not just the SEC title game. So I don't think Georgia's defense can play as bad as they did 3 weeks ago. I don't think they're going to play as bad. But Alabama's Alabama, and Nick Saban has been in this game a lot. And I think the experience of how to prepare for this moment and how to go through this is completely invaluable. And so, you know, Stetson Bennett is going to need to have a game much like he did in the Orange Bowl. And Georgia's defensive line and their defense in general has got to have a much better game. I thought way too many people put the singular focus and made the outcome of the game exclusively on the shoulders of Stetson Bennett. And I didn't think Georgia's defensive line showed up. I thought they were a complete non-factor and nobody really talked about it. They got zero sacks on an offensive line for Alabama that the week before in the Iron Bowl gave up 8 sacks to Auburn.
Wow.
So they have got to get more pressure on Bryce Young this time around and get their hands on him if they want to have a shot.
My final question for you, obviously the quarterback position, you just talked about Stetson Bennett. Bryce Young, here they are facing off in the national championship. How would you describe this national championship, you know, duel between these two quarterbacks?
It's funny. You've got one guy who's looked at as the prodigy in Bryce Young and one of the top quarterbacks in the country a couple years ago, and, mm-hmm. and everybody wanted him. And, you know, he had his pick to where he wanted to go, and he wins the Heisman his first year starting. And then you've got this little cute story on the other side in Stetson Bennett, who Georgia fans didn't even want as the starter. They were clamoring, petitioning, begging, and have been all year for Kirby Smart to bench him and to play JT Daniels. And many in the media have come out and said that Stetson Bennett emphatically cannot win you a national title. And so it is a modern-day Rudy story. I mean, if Georgia wins and Stetson Bennett takes Georgia to a national title game and wins it, he will have one of the most epic last laughs that in my lifetime, that we may ever see for a guy who was a former walk-on, four-string quarterback, left Georgia, went to JUCO college because he didn't have a scholarship, was recruited back, was the third-string quarterback at the beginning of the year for Georgia, and here he is on the brink of winning a national championship for the first time in 41 years, and no quarterback, including myself, not a 4-star, not a 5-star quarterback at Georgia, has been able to do that. But here's Stetson Bennett, just one game away from, I think, getting the most epic last laugh we've ever seen in sports history.
What an inspirational story. College football analyst who's been joining us each and every week. That is Hudson Mason. Check him out on ESPN. I'll also give him a follow on Twitter at HMason14. Thank you so much, Hudson. We look forward to another conversation down the road. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. See ya.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network.
is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back here in Hour 1, our very first show of 2022. And as promised before the commercial break, the college football conversation will continue as we get you ready for the college football playoff national championship game on Monday night between Alabama and Georgia. However, in our next segment, we're going to head to Norman, and we're going to discuss some of the biggest headlines from this past week. Of course, Sooners quarterback Caleb Williams has entered the transfer portal, and we're delighted to have back with us our source for Sooner Sports, and that is legendary radio host with CBS Sports Radio in Oklahoma City, the great James Hale. Good morning, James.
Good morning, E. The only problem doing radio with you is I don't get to see your pretty face, but I can visualize it. You know, I mean, it's, you know, so we're good.
It's all good. All right. Well, let's get right to it. Oklahoma's quarterback, Caleb Williams, enters or decides to enter the transfer portal, but will keep the Sooners as an option. So what is your reaction when you heard this news?
Well, Caleb actually let OU know that he was probably going to enter the transfer portal even before the bowl game. So Oklahoma's been aware of this. That's why Jeff Lebby immediately, you know, called a guy that he's been the offensive coordinator for the last 3 years or a couple of years, and that was Dylan Gabriel, who was getting set to enroll at UCLA. He did enroll. He just never went to class. But when Caleb officially announced that he was going into the transfer portal, and you saw that Oklahoma countered with their own tweet, acknowledging that, you know, they knew Caleb, or, you know, they appreciate Caleb doing what he needs to do to find what he's going to do. But OU counters by saying, we feel like we're the best spot for him. And they talked about Jeff Levy's track record as an offensive coordinator and things. But that a few hours later, Dylan Gabriel announced that he was committing to Oklahoma. So Dylan has thrown for over 8,000 yards in his career, 70 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. He's been prolific. And that was basically in 2 years at UCF before he broke his collarbone last year and basically set out, which will act as a redshirt year for him. And he has the COVID year, too. So there's counter moves and there's moves. I think Caleb will consider coming back to OU. Caleb doesn't fear competition. He didn't fear coming in to compete with Spencer Rattler, so he's not going to fear coming in to compete with Dylan Gabriel. But when Lincoln Riley left, that was the reason why Caleb came to Oklahoma. It wasn't necessarily to play for the Sooners. And this is the new age of college football, and we can hate it, not like it. We can be disappointed in it. But athletes anymore sometimes choose to go to the best school that can best help them get to the National Football League, mm-hmm. and it's not to play for old college U. And that's what Caleb kind of did here, even though once he was here, he bought all in to being the quarterback and being part of the Sooners, and he loved being a part of the Sooner program. You know, but the bottom line is they came to learn and be developed by Lincoln Riley. When Lincoln shocked everybody, including Caleb, he didn't call Caleb and tell him that he was leaving. He didn't call Caleb's family and tell him he was leaving. So they were as shocked as we were. That immediately put them on alert because that's why they came to Oklahoma. And even though everything worked out in the first year for them, you know, they all of a sudden their world was turned upside down. So they're still exploring who's the best program out there that they can go to help develop Caleb for the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
They like, Lincoln Riley is gone. Joe Brady is not in the college game. They would have loved to have played for him when he was the offensive coordinator at LSU. Now, if Joe Brady comes back to the college game, wherever he goes, I think that's where Caleb would probably go. I don't know if they want to go out to USC because Lincoln didn't do them right in this deal either. Do they want to re-up with Lincoln, even though they know that this thing wasn't handled right for them at this point? So there's a lot of things still up in the air. He just officially went into the portal a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see. I fully expect him to take a visit or two, which is going to angst everybody in Sooner Nation. I still think OU is a great place for him to come back. It's now a little more complicated with Gabriel back. So we'll see, but I know that's one of the big stories in college football, what Caleb Williams is going to do. This is not about NIL money. The Williamses make money. This is not about NIL at all. wherever Caleb goes, he's got some NIL deals. They're national deals that will ride wherever he's at. So this is not, and there's a lot of reports out there that so-and-so university is offering $2 million or whatever, but that's bunk. Universities can't offer NIL deals anyway. So when it's phrased like that, that's wrong right up the front. You know, universities can't say, we're going to pay you $3 million to come and play for us. And thank God they can't, and let's hope we never get to that, where all of a sudden we're paying players just like they do in the NFL to come and play college football. But the NIL deal has complicated things as well. I just don't think it's a major factor in anything that Caleb's going to decide. So, yeah, it's been a whirlwind. There's no doubt about it. It will be interesting to see what Caleb does. A good counter by the Sooners, because Dillon Gabriel is a really, really good player. So they have a quarterback for next year. It will be interesting to see if they have two NFL-type quarterbacks if Caleb comes back. If Gabriel would actually stay E if Caleb did come back.
Host of Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. You bet he's back in 2022. James Hale, give him a follow on Twitter, at jhale21. Also subscribe to his daily video podcast, and that is at Patreon. James, direct the listeners where they can go and subscribe.
Just James Hale, Die Hard Sooner Report. Google it, and I do 3 to 5 podcasts a day. For a small donation, it's worth your price. Hey, you know, you can eat breakfast. I wouldn't recommend necessarily to look at them.
Uh-huh.
I just recommend you listen to them. I don't have Lisa doing these reports for me, so you got to have my face up there. But, hey, they're short podcasts. You can take care of them at breakfast, and you're fully informed what's going on in Sooner Nation.
For sure. I always learn something new. James Hale along with us at Sports Map Radio Network. Okay, so James, you break it down as far as potential landing spots, potentially for Caleb Williams, and he's exploring other possibilities. But why does he feel like it's necessary to see what options are out there? I mean, Coach Venables, I mean, he's already, what, hired former offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, and he's getting all the pieces of the puzzle put into place.
Well, he just doesn't know Jeff Lebby. The family doesn't know Brent Venables. They've never talked to him. They've never talked to Jeff Lebby. Jeff was not an offensive coordinator. They were considering coming out of Gonzaga High School in Washington, D.C. And so their whole world has been turned upside down when Lincoln Riley left them. And that's why they came to OU, to play with Lincoln Riley. Lincoln has had great success developing quarterbacks. To where they go to the National Football League, they're ready to play. Kyler's excelling. You know, Baker started 3 or 4 years. Jalen Hurts is starting in his first year at Philadelphia. And that's who they wanted to play with. It's either him or Joe Brady. That would have been a tough choice for them. Come and play for Lincoln Riley or go to play for Joe Brady at LSU. Joe Brady's now in the National Football League. He was just let go at Carolina, if I remember correctly. And now he's trying to figure out what he wants to do. I hear he wants to stay in the National Football League. But if he comes back to the college game, and he could land at Miami or he could land at Oregon, I think that may be a spot where Caleb would look at. But that's why he's on the lookout, even though everything looks good at OU, and it is for just about anybody else in the world, except for the Williams family. And they don't know Brent. They don't know Jeff Lebby. And they don't know if Jeff Lebby's really good at developing a quarterback for what they are looking for or not. And so I don't know who that is exactly, E, out there. But they're going to take a few days and try to find as many options as they can and then try to make a decision. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't come back to OU. It's a pretty good option for him. He may not know it, but the more research they do of Jeff Lebby, maybe they'll figure out maybe that is our best option,
yeah,
and they'll stay at OU. Who knows?
What about Spencer Rattler? Do you think that he perhaps regrets his decision and making that commitment going over to South Carolina? I mean, perhaps he would have stayed if he would have known Caleb had one foot out the door.
Yeah, well, he just didn't know it at the time, and he wasn't going to be the backup to Caleb Williams again this year. And if he wasn't going to be given the chance to beat him out, and he probably wouldn't have been, he didn't really have a choice. If he wanted to be a starting quarterback, I thought he might go to the National Football League, but he obviously didn't feel after this year he had good enough tape to go and try to do that. So that's going to be interesting. He'll do great at South Carolina. Coach Beamer is a great guy. He's going to walk in as the starting quarterback. They played pretty well, even with two quarterbacks that were journeyman quarterbacks this past year. Heck, one guy was a graduate assistant coach, and all of a sudden they said, don't you have some eligibility? Yeah, coach, I have 1 year. Guess what? You're starting Saturday. You know, that's how Coach Beamer rolled. That's why he's a great coach, man.
Yeah.
For them to get bowl eligible at South Carolina and then win the bowl, wow. Now they bring in a quarterback that just this past year was regarded the number one quarterback in the country, the Heisman Trophy favorite, the number one pick in the NFL draft. He's still Spencer Rattler. He's still a talented quarterback, and now he's going to go in. He's going to get every chance to be who he is, and that's a really good quarterback at South Carolina. He's made the right decision. He didn't know what Caleb was going to do, and he had to leave to find a spot, and he's found one where he can be the guy.
You know, speaking of bowl games, let's reflect on the Alamo Bowl and just your thoughts on the job that Bob Stoops did, you know, coming out of retirement to coach the Sooners and guide them to that 47-32 win over Oregon. It was a comeback.
Well, it was surreal. You know, Bob coming back and doing what he did, dropping everything he had in his life and getting the blessing from his wife, Carol, to, hey, go do what you do, man. I thought was so surreal. His legacy, the love that Sooner Nation has for him is unparalleled. It's just off the charts right now. And when Bob walked back into the football facility, he stabilized all the trepidation, all the angst that was going on. Because when Lincoln left, boy, this program was reeling for a couple of days. Bob comes right back in, stabilizes it, tells the team, you're the program, not me, not Lincoln, not one guy's bigger than the program. That stabilized a lot of guys. It didn't keep some guys from leaving. It didn't keep from guys from declaring for the NFL. But the guys that stayed thought it was a blessing to play for a Hall of Fame coach. He became Coach Stoops again. Players even talked about how he got mad at him a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
And they saw that jaw tighten. And he's asking him, what are you doing? And I'm glad he won the game. But it was different. You know, the crowd started chanting, Stoops, Stoops, when he came out for the pregame warm-up. Now, back in the day, man, when he was totally in as head coach Bob Stoops, he wasn't going to wave back at the crowd. But he stopped in the middle of the field, turned around to all corners of the stadium, and waved. That was cool. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah.
It was different. And I realized this was going to be a little bit of a different game for Bob. You know, but, hey, they won. They played great. He became Riverboat Bob again. I mean, he went for it on fourth down in the second drive of the game from midfield. I mean, you know, that's how Bob used to coach. And he asked his players, do you want to go for it? And they were going, yeah, we want to go for it. And he goes, all right, go for it. I don't care. Get after it. So it was great. It was surreal. I'm glad the team won. Caleb was all in. Caleb played really well in that game. Jahlil Farouk looked like he's going to be a great receiver, at Oklahoma if he stays, and I think he will. So it was a nice bowl win, and I'm glad Bob came back. And it was a nice fit for Oklahoma in that game.
It truly was a big night for Caleb Williams to end his freshman season. The college football conversation continues with James Hale from Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. After this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we are back. Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, getting you ready for the title game on Monday night with James Hale, host of Total Sports with CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. So as we look ahead, look in that crystal ball and tell us, what are your projections? I mean, what do you anticipate? How do you think the 2022 season is going to play out for Oklahoma?
Well, I think Brent's a heck of a coach. This would be his first head coaching job, but every time that Oklahoma's hired an assistant coach, for the most part, it's worked out. You go from Bud Wilkinson, you go to Barry Switzer, you go to Bob Stoops, you go to Lincoln Riley, you go to Oklahoma, you go to now Brent Venables. Now, John Blake, his first job, was at Oklahoma, and so was Gary Gibbs. And Gary was okay. John didn't have a great career at OU. But for the most part, it works out. And I think Brent's a heck of a coach. I've always thought he would be a great head coach. I love all his coaching hires so far. They're usually guys that you know, you can research. They're well respected. He's given one guy a chance to start his coaching career in Miguel Chavez at defensive end. But, you know, getting Todd Bates to come from Clemson to coach defensive tackles and to be co-defensive coordinator along with Ruth, I think has been, you know, I think has been great. B. Hall at the secondary. So I think they're going to be pretty good next year. They've been hit pretty hard. I'm not sure anybody's been hit harder than OU with guys declaring for the draft, but they've got a good recruiting class. They've got three guys coming in the transfer portal. They just got Jarek Kanick, who's an outstanding linebacker out of Hayes, Kansas, to commit, even though I've had him committed to Oklahoma now for a couple of weeks. If they get the cornerback coach, I think they're going to. I think Gentry Williams mm-hmm. will be okay, and he'll come into the program. This is going to be a recruiting class that's ranked in the top 8 to 10 in the country. You know, I expect them to be good next year. You know, defensively, they're going to be different from the speed D to what Brent does. Jeff Lebby will have a different offense at Lincoln Riley, but Jeff's had great offenses so far at UCF and Ole Miss. I don't see any reason why he won't have a great offense at OU if they have a quality quarterback. And, you know, and Dylan Gabriel, they will have one, and Caleb Williams, they'll have one if he comes back. So I really expect Oklahoma to have a good year and once again be a contender for the Big 12 championship and be a contender for the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm. We are going to continue this conversation here in hour two. What a great way to kick off our first program of 2022 with James Hale, legendary radio host of Total Sports on CBS Radio affiliate in Oklahoma City. Subscribe to Patreon. Go to patreon.com.